I hope that each one of us will determine next Lord's Day that we will be here, be a part of our fellowship meal together, which we will be inviting the lovely people who've become a part of this congregation in recent months. Let's be sure that each one of us be here, enthusiastically letting all of these fine folks know of our love and interest and appreciation for the fact that they are a part of the Lord's family at this place. How many of us would be willing to follow a dream for 45 years? How many of us could wait that long for the fulfillment of our desires? I want to think with you today about a man who did. The man's name was Caleb. Early in our service, we heard something about this man. Caleb had gone to Joshua at the time when Joshua and Eleazar were distributing the land. And he said to them in Joshua 14, verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I came back and told all that was in my heart. Nevertheless, he said, the spies that went out with me caused the hearts of the people of Israel to melt. But I wholly followed the Lord. Moses swore that day and said that the land where your foot has trodden shall be yours. And he said, these 45 years the Lord has kept me alive. And I'm this day 85 years old. And my strength, I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength is now, both for war to go out and to come in. Verse 11. And then in the 12th verse of that 14th chapter, he says, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. We've heard that there were Anakims there, that the cities were great and they were fortified. But if it so be that the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. I want to think with you particularly about verse 12. Where Caleb says to Joshua, give me this mountain, because I've been looking forward for 45 years. When I was 40 years old and I went out and spied the land, and I came back and I said, we can take it. It's a beautiful land and yet it can be ours. 10 of the spies said, no, the men are giants there. The cities are walled cities, fortified, and it cannot be ours. And because of this, the hearts of the people melted. But he said to Joshua, I want you to know that 45 years ago, Moses swore that every place where my foot touched, the land that I had trodden would be mine. And he said, I'm now coming to make that claim. Even though I'm 85 years of age, I know it's a big job for what someone would call an old man. I don't know that the word is good. I personally think the word senior citizen, mature citizen, or maybe some other words are better. But to say the least, whatever word we would use, Caleb had reached the level of 85 years of age. And that's an advanced age for a person to start on a very thrilling and a very demanding effort. Because the place he desired was well fortified. The enemy was there. But it may be, he said, as the Lord has said, that I'll be able to drive them out. And he said, I want you to give me this mountain. In Joshua 17, verse 18, Joshua said to him, but the mountain shall be yours. I want to think with you for a few moments today on really what it means, give me this mountain. Because all of us are traveling the highway of life. All of us are facing difficulties. All of us are facing mountains. Someone described life as being like an ice cream cone. Just when you think you've got it licked, it drips all over you. I think that's a pretty good description of life. We may think sometimes that we have everything under control, everything just in line. We may think we have our problems, our difficulties licked. But when we do so, then all of these calamities, all of these difficulties, all of these problems arise. And it's just like that ice cream cone. It drips all over us. The problems seem to set in, the difficulties seem to mount. Some of you in this good audience today, I'm sure can understand Caleb. Some of you probably have reached that grand total of 70. And as the psalmist said, if by reason of strength it be 80. Some of you perhaps have reached that 80 level. And then maybe some of us have reached even to the point of Caleb's age when he said, I'm 85 years old. The amazing thing was that his strength was still there. He said, it's God that kept me alive. And so it doesn't make any difference whether we're 10 or 50 or 80 or 100. All of us can say that it's God. It's God that's kept us alive. And that God has kept us alive for a reason, for a purpose. And I suggest to you that Caleb wasn't the only one that had a mountain to conquer. He wasn't the only one that had a mountain to climb, a victory to win. But all of us, every person in this building today has a mountain, has challenges, opportunities that we need to capitalize upon and to make them ours to the glory and honor of God. You remember Jesus stated it in Mark 11, verses 23 and 24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, ask believing and you shall have them. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, he shall have whatsoever things he says. Our Lord was talking about mountains too. He was saying that all of us in life have our mountains. Our mountains to either climb over, to go around, our mountains to be removed. In other words, our Lord was saying that all of us have challenges and all of us have victories to claim. He wasn't literally talking about a mountain that's leveled. We live in a day when mountains have been leveled and roads have been built and cities erected and a marvelous age. But he wasn't talking about some large, high-skilled machinery. He was simply saying, the mountains in your life, whatever they are, claim them. Claim them to the glory and honor of God, and whatever it is stands in your way from being what God wants you to be. He said, God is in the business of moving those mountains by faith and by commitment and by dedication to God. And I hope that every one of us today, rather than lamenting the fact that we have mountains, we have difficulties. You see, our mountains come in all shapes and sizes. And no one has a right to tell another what mountain he has to conquer. The important part for each one of us as a Christian is that we're always climbing. As congregations of God's people, we should prayerfully seek mountains to climb for God's glory. Caleb asked for a mountain to climb and a mountain to conquer. Let us seek a task which will stretch us to all of our potential and make us grow. Let us not run from the giants, but rather let us claim the mountains where the giants live. With God being our helper, we can overcome. We can do so because it is the same God that doesn't lose sight of His promises, that doesn't let the goals diminish. Caleb, for 45 years. I suppose every day and every moment almost of that 45 years, he was thinking about that wonderful, marvelous land that I once spied out. I remember how productive it was, beautiful it was. And I just wish that I could live there and I could plant a vineyard in that soil and see how productive it would be. For 45 years, he kept the dream alive. Because it was something he desired so desperately. And when the land's being parceled out, he comes without a sense of greed to say to Joshua, give me this mountain. Oh, it's not going to be handed like a silver platter. The giants are there. The Anakims are there. And it's going to be a real struggle. And a hard job for an 85-year-old man. But he said, I want that challenge. I want that challenge. The Lord challenges all of us. The Lord despises slothfulness. In Romans 15, verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The Lord condemns mediocrity. And those who would be mediocre. The Lord wants us to challenge ourselves to heights we've not yet attained, to His glory and His honor. And for that reason, the Lord keeps us alive. The Lord has kept me alive. But He kept Caleb alive for a purpose. And the Lord's keeping you alive, but He's keeping me alive for a purpose. And that purpose is not to just continue the status quo. That purpose is not just to float along through life, but rather to say, here's what can be. And with the help of God, I'm going to accept that challenge. And I'm going to climb. I'm going to conquer that mountain in my life. And I'm going to make it to the glory and honor of God. In order for us to do that, I suggest to you that we must be unafraid of difficulties. Difficulties will always be present. They always have been and always will be. After 45 years, the giants were still in that land, and they would have still been there 45 additional years. And more than that, if someone had not gone with God's help and God's strength like Caleb did and make those mountains theirs to God's glory. No, the problems were still present. The same is true with us. Look at our situation. Someone has said that we live in the best of times and we live in the worst of times. I think that's true. I believe you could make a case today and suggest that we live in the best of times. I believe you could also make a case that we live in the worst of times. I think that's always the case. There's always the intermingling, the mixing of the good and bad. There are always the simple things and the complex things that were in the first century and they are in the 20th, and they will be as long as time lasts. I believe we can say of any age, we live in the best of times. We live in a time of opportunity. Unparalleled, and yet it is wrought with many problems, with many complications that we must face. But we must be unafraid of difficulties. I read one day of a rich man who answered his front door, and as he opened the door, he saw a little boy dressed in rags, standing in front of him. And the little boy was standing there because of a sign that was out on the spacious lawn in front of that beautiful house, that beautiful mansion. And that sign said, Pedigree Pups for Sale. And this little fellow in the rags said to the rich man, I want to buy one of those pups. And he began showing him, counting out his money, and he had all of $2.87. And the rich man said, but sonny, these are high priced pups. He said, these pups are worth $250 a piece. And he said, I couldn't sell you one of those, not for that amount of money. That's too little. And the little fellow looked downcast. And he finally said to this rich man, he said, but sir, could I see those little puppies? He said, well, I guess so. Sure. So they went around the house for the little boy to see the little puppies. And when they got near them, the mama dog comes, followed by these four little puppies. One of them's about 3 yards behind the other three because he has a crippled leg. Probably it came about to a birth condition, but suffice to say, a crippled leg. And when this little ragged boy saw that little puppy,
He said, that's the one I want. I want that little crippled puppy. And the man said, Sonny, you don't have enough money to buy one of these pups. These are expensive animals. And he said, even if you did, you wouldn't want that little crippled dog. You'd want one of the others. The little boy said, oh yes. He was so excited and so exuberant, so thrilled. He said to the man, I want that little puppy. And the rich man's heart, I guess, melted like the scripture text from Joshua 14. And so he finally said to the little boy, okay, I'll take your $2.87 and I'll let you have that little crippled puppy. And then when the little boy turned around, the rich man said to him, son, but I wonder why you wanted that little crippled dog. He said, he'll never be able to climb the hills with you. He'll never be able to play with you like some well puppy could. And I just wonder why you wanted that little crippled puppy. And this little boy in the rags, he pulled up one of those ragged pant legs that this closed the brace. But all the way up his leg. And he said, sir, I want that little crippled puppy because he needs someone that really understands him. And then that little ragged boy hobbled off with that little crippled dog. He wants someone that understands him. I think you can understand why that little crippled boy wanted that little crippled puppy. It's a challenge to him. Now I've said that to say to you, there are a lot of cripples in our world. There are a lot of crippled things. I don't mean just people that can't get around as well as some of us. There are those. But I mean, there are a lot of crippled things in our world. There are a lot of things out of place that are not just what they need to be. And God is depending on each of us not to cry because we live in a crippled world, crippled with sin, beset with all kinds of problems. But God's saying to each one of us, these are mountains. These are problems. These are difficulties. I want you to understand them. And I want you to work toward their solution. I want you to work toward their accomplishments. No, let's don't mourn all the days because of the complications we face. We face complications in our world. We face difficulties in the church. Many of them. I don't mean we, just me. I mean all of us. But I'm not going to lament that we don't live in a perfect world. I'm going to say, thank you, God, as Caleb did, that you have kept me alive. And it doesn't matter what birthday I've had. He had had 85. He said, Lord, give me this mouth. I'm willing to go and do my dead level best in making that mountain mine to your glory and to your honor and to your good. In verse 15 of the 70th chapter, and Joshua answered them, if you be a great people, then get up to the wood country, the forest, and cut down for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for you.
Joshua said, get going. Now when you go into that country, it's going to be heavily forest, wooded. And you're going to have to cut these trees down, clear them, like the pioneers did in our land as they moved westward. They had to clear the ground in order to build a house and then clear enough ground to have a garden and a little crop. It wasn't cleared for them. Heavily wooded. Joshua says, that's the way this is. Not only are there giants there, the enemies there, but there are a lot of trees. And the ground's not cleared. You're going to have to clear the ground. But he said, if you're a great people, you'll cut the wood, clear the ground, and you'll make something to God's glory and honor. I'm telling you today that the ground's not all cleared. The problems aren't all resolved. The difficulties aren't all over. But God says if we're a great people, then we will in word as well as in deed, we'll clear the ground, we'll solve the problems, we'll meet the solutions, because we have God as our strength. Now what's your mountain today? What's your challenge today? Individually, what mountain are you trying to climb over, conquer? What's your mountain today? All of us have the mountains. But I'm telling you, by the grace and the strength of God, like that great servant Caleb centuries ago, we're going to climb those mountains. And we're going to realize those victories. Someone once said to Napoleon Bonaparte, that great general, that great leader, I want you to create a general out of this boy who belongs to a noble family. Napoleon said, it's not I that make generals or marshals, but victory. Nobility comes not from genealogy, but nobility comes from action, from deeds. You don't send someone to me for me to make them a great general. They make themselves a great general out on the battlefield in combat when they win the victories. And so it is in the Christian army. So it is in the Lord's army. Generals are not made by titles and the plaudits of men, but they're made by the victories that are won out of dedication and commitment and determination that may require blood, sweat, and tears. Give me this mountain. What are you? What mountains are you seeking to win and to claim for the Lord Jesus? What challenges are before you? Challenge yourself to greater heights. Challenge yourself to more dedication and more commitment. And say, Lord, I've just played church, played Christianity long enough. I'm going to quit the playing. I'm going to quit the acting, and I'm going to go after the mountains, after the victories that need to be won for Jesus. Let Caleb be like you are today. I would that Central and McMinnville and Warren County and our state and our world could be filled with people like that 85-year-old man, Caleb, who said, I want this mountain. And I'm willing to pay whatever price, and I'm willing to work however long needs to be in order to make that mountain mine. It'll be to glory, God's glory and God's honor. What are your mountains? What are your challenges? Don't be defeated. Don't be defeated because you may have a temporary setback. As we said earlier, like that ice cream cone, when you think you've got life lit, when you think you've got that ice cream cone lit, that's all. That's what happens sometime in life. But don't let it set us back permanently. Let it be just temporarily. As we move on, we move upward. Give me this mountain. It's a beautiful story, an Old Testament setting. But it's just as up to date as today. It's just as needful as it was many, many centuries ago when the account was given to us in the Word of God. If you're not a Christian today, you need to surrender your life to Jesus. Repenting of your sins, believing in the Lord, confessing His name, being baptized, and then you've just started the greatest journey in all of life. There'll be a lot of obstacles in the way, but with God's help, you can conquer. You never obeyed the gospel, you need to do so. If you have, you've wandered away. You've not been true to your commitment. Then you need to turn back in repentance. If you're a member of the body of Christ and not of this congregation, we would urge you to want to be a part of the central family, not because we're perfect, not because the church is perfect. It's made up of imperfect, frail, weak, sinful people. But all of us are trying to help one another to get to heaven. And if you want to be a part of that family, then we would urge you to express that desire as we stand together and sing.